This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And Tate, today, taking a look at National Library Week, Roseburg Public Library Director Chris Wiley and Aurora Ropp. And is it Youth Services Librarian? I got that right. Okay, well, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
And let's talk about kind of the week. Why is it designated as Library Week?
Well, it's been designated as National Library Week for decades now, and it's really a chance for communities to take a closer look at their libraries, whether it's their public libraries or their academic libraries, private libraries. We're all over in the communities.
Aurora, what do you think about the designation of this, especially in the youth area?
I think it is great to have a designation week of going to your library. I think it's a great time if you don't have a library card with your child yet to go in, to explore, just to see what's available for you there.
And as well, National Library Workers Day is tomorrow. So Chris, talk about your staff, how many you have right now. I'm also curious, what makes a good library worker?
I saw that question, Colin. I really thought, you know, we talk a lot about this. What makes a person a really good fit for the library? Our staff is small and mighty. We have 3.5 full-time equivalents. So Aurora and I are there. We have a circulation supervisor. We have 4 library aides, and they're the ones you mostly see at the front desk along with David, our circulation supervisor. And then we have Lydia Rathy, who's our UCAN AmeriCorps participant this year. I think what makes a good library worker is someone who really enjoys working with the public. This is customer service, and it's a different kind of customer service than a retail environment, but there are a lot of similarities, and just never quite knowing what question you're going to get, but always being ready to pitch in and find the answer to that. We are inquisitive. We're really curious about the world, and one of our favorite things, as one of the library aides said, is getting the right book or the right information into people's hands.
And it would seem like you've got to be somebody who is into books. I mean, I guess that seems obvious.
Well, I guess it's obvious, but you know, it's not necessarily. It's more, yes, we all love books, but it's really about connecting people to the resources that they need to get their questions answered, to go about their daily life. We get a lot of questions that have nothing to do with books at all. It's about finding information. That's why when we went to school, our degree is a library and information services degree rather than books.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, what about volunteers? Are you still using those?
Yes, we are using volunteers, and our circulation supervisor is also our volunteer coordinator. That said, we are not yet at capacity post-COVID to have the whole crew back, so we do have a few folks who are waiting very patiently in the wings. Right now, they're doing our shelving for us. Back in the pre-COVID times, we were circulating about 8,000, 8,500 items a month. This last month, we were at 5,700. So that gives you an idea. We're increasing. It's coming back slowly. So when we get back to capacity, our volunteer crew will grow.
I'm curious for both of you, what led to you getting library degrees, wanting to pursue this line of work? Aurora, what about you?
I have always loved reading and loved books as a kid. So books were definitely the first draw. But it's also very important to me, like Chris talked about, of getting people information. And I definitely wanted to be there somewhere to support the public in finding the information that they needed to answer their questions and helping them figure out the skills that they can use to find the information that they need.
Chris, what about you?
I came very late in the game to libraries. I was in my 30s and had two careers before that, and just kind of gravitated toward it because I enjoyed the research aspect of the work I was doing with my other degrees and the time I spent in the academic libraries. It's kind of fun to hear Aurora talk about how she pretty much always wanted
since
to be
seventh
a librarian.
Grade.
Yeah. Whereas I didn't even become a reader until my teenage years. Not that I was reluctant, I just couldn't finish a book. And I remember that very vividly. And once I hit my teenage years, there was no stopping me. I always enjoyed the reading for pleasure piece of it, and just took a while to get to this point.
Now, you talked about this a long time ago, but remind me what your first two careers were.
I was a sports copy editor at several newspapers, Connecticut and Omaha, and then in St. Paul, Minnesota. And then I became a nurse, and I did that for a very short time. I ended up working at a health sciences library while I was getting my library degree, and that was incredibly beneficial to see the academic side of it. Realized very quickly that public libraries was where I was meant to be, and Aurora's talked about that too, whether she was going to go into school libraries versus public libraries. And they're just, we tend to gravitate based on our personalities in general with librarians.
So what's the difference between working at a public library and at a school library, whether it's an elementary or whether you're at, you know, a university or something like that?
I would definitely say when you're working with a school and elementary library, you're still getting to teach kids how to use the catalog, how to look for their information. But there are other activities that you do, working with teachers, working on school projects that I didn't necessarily want to do. And then also if you're working in a school library, at least what my consideration was elementary, you're missing out on those preschool kids. And I definitely enjoy doing story time and getting to interact with kids before they're even in the school system.
And now she gets kiddos from babies all the way up through high school. We have given her a very large plate of age range. It's often where public libraries will have a separate children's librarian and a teen services librarian, and that just wasn't the position we were in, and we were very fortunate that Aurora decided to take on all of it for us.
You know, I was thinking about how libraries have evolved over the years, and you mentioned being able to use the catalog, and not to date myself, but back when I was going to school libraries, you had like all these index cards. Oh my gosh. And then somebody invented the computer.
Index cards. And I'm dating myself too, Kyle. Reader's Guide to Periodical Literature.
Ah.
Right? That don't exist anymore. We really rely heavily on databases to do a lot of our research work. And we have the card catalog online, and folks can see not only what we have in physical format, we have access to digital materials. It's changed so much since I graduated from library school, and that wasn't even that long ago.
So that means as well that if somebody wanted to, they could go online at home, look at what's available right now, figure out what they probably wanted, and walk in and get it and be in and out in 5 minutes.
Absolutely. And they don't even have to come in now because we have drive-up pickup services. So they can just call us from right outside the door and we'll bring it out to them, and they never have to set foot. We want people and encourage people to set foot in, but we also recognize that we need to provide services in a different way. So we have a lot of people who simply have our library card for electronic materials and never come into the building, yet are accessing and using the public library.
So is that a pretty common thing among the libraries to have people use them that way?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
I think so.
At my old library, we specifically had a card that you could purchase that was just online materials only.
Wow. So let's talk about library cards. Now, those still exist. How many of those have been issued?
We've issued about 7,000 library cards since the end of 2018, and most of them are for adult residents of the city of Roseburg. But one of the things I wanted to talk about today were our student cards, and I looked that up, and we have 1,100 student cards, which I was really happy, surprisingly so, that we have that many kiddos getting the student cards.
Wow. And what does that enable people to do with the card?
Well, the cards are really for checking out material. So much of what we offer, it doesn't require a library card at all. You don't need a library card to access our Wi-Fi or to use our computers, to go to any programs, to pick up the craft kits that we have, to participate in the summer reading program. It's a library card is required to actually check out materials.
All right, more when we come back on Inside Douglas County National Library Week, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1248 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, looking at National Library Week. And Roseburg Library Director Chris Wiley and Youth Services Librarian Aurora Ropp in this afternoon. So, Chris, right before the break, you mentioned craft kits. That was kind of a newer thing the last couple of years. Didn't that kind of start during the pandemic?
It did, but, you know, I'm not the person to answer this. I have Aurora here, and it has been her bailiwick the whole time.
So, yes, we did start with craft kits during the pandemic since we couldn't have people in person. We still wanted to give kids things to do. So they have definitely been fun to make, and we have a new one tomorrow.
So what do you have available?
Yeah, tomorrow our craft kit is spring and Easter focused. So they get to make a hatching egg and some butterflies.
And how do you decide, you know, what to do in each of those?
Yeah, a lot of the craft kits, I try and do something seasonal that, you know, is fun with what's happening outside, or just something that's flat out fun. We've done a lot of slime craft kits that are fun to make, and different bead animals and STEM crafts as well.
So what time can people pick those up tomorrow?
People can pick them up starting when we open at 10 a.m. tomorrow. And the crafts are available on a first-come, first-serve basis. We are open until 6 p.m., but honestly, the crafts are usually gone by around 4:30 in the afternoon.
So you just had spring break. How did that go?
Spring break was good. We had a fun craft kit that they could take where they could plant a seed for a flower that is edible. Those were gone pretty quick. We made more that day, and those were gone by the afternoon as well. And then I had some leftovers from past craft kits that we were able to give out all week.
So what about the summer reading program? What are you planning?
Yeah, summer reading program coming up. We still plan on doing craft kits every Tuesday for that. We also are going to try to get back to some in-person programming. We'll do story times at Stewart Park, and we will have a craft slash book activity at Stewart Park on Fridays for kids as well.
Now, there's the adult element of that too, right?
Yes, we've always had an adult component of the summer reading program in different iterations. So just a couple of weeks ago, I asked the community to give me some feedback on what's worked for them and what hasn't. And I got great responses. That's going to kind of make me rethink a little bit. We're still going to do prompts because that far and away was the most popular way people like to do the summer reading program. So it'll say, read an Oregon author. You can read any book by the Oregon author. You tell me what that book is. At the end of the summer, we draw for gift cards. But throughout the summer, what they want is some incentive. So we're going to do play maybe some trivia or do some other fun small parts, some components that will give out smaller gift cards in the summer. So it'll be a little more activity for the adults than what they're used to, and I hope they enjoy that.
So like a lot of other organizations or public bodies, you've had a lot of shifts back and forth. It's like being on a, writing something at a fair. You know, you go up, you come down, things change, you go a different direction. What do you see going forward?
I see us slowly getting back to in-person programming. Just as we're seeing an increase in circulation, I think you'll see an increase in our door count, an increase in our in-person programming and people coming back to those. I think the future for programming for adults may look a little bit different because we've had really good success with online programs. But I think Aurora would agree that the key for those kiddos, especially the little ones, is getting those early literacy skills taught in person.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I see us going back, maybe not doing as much programming as we were before, but still definitely having in-person programming to get the kids into the building, to be able to interact with books, to show proper interaction with books, and encourage encouraged researching and looking around the library.
So as people try to keep up with what's going on, you're putting information out on a lot of social media and other platforms.
Yeah, we sure do. We have our website, which is rosebergpubliclibrary.org, and we have an events link to our calendar. And then we put that kind of information as well as other general library information on our Facebook page. And we have an Instagram. Those are at Roseburg Library. We also have a weekly newsletter, comes out Tuesday mornings. And you can register for that on our homepage of our website at rosebergpubliclibrary.org. And that really gives you a recap of what programs are coming up, staff picks, which are really popular. That's a popular display in the library, and this is just a way to pull some of those books for people who may not come in all the time or see all of the books on display. We put two or three books every week on there as staff picks, and then usually something like this week with the craft kit, I have a picture of it so people can see it and a reminder of when they can pick that up. It's really just another opportunity for us to get the word out about what's happening at the library.
So not only have you reopened in person, but you've added more hours.
Yes. Our last edition was Fridays. So now we're open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 10 to 6, and Friday and Saturday from 10 to 2.
So if somebody hasn't been in the library recently or maybe during the pandemic, what's different?
We have changed our computer stations. We got a grant to be able to get new desks and to separate them so you don't have to worry about the person next to you breathing germs on you. We have gotten new comfy furniture throughout the library. It's soft to sit on. It's no longer just the hard wooden chairs. What else?
We have a beautiful mural now that
got installed.
It really adds a pop of color along with those chairs that Aurora mentioned. We had a very office type of feel, and the mural and the chairs have brightened it up a lot and kind of tied the colors in with the children's room.
Yeah, do you feel like those color changes kind of make it more welcoming for kids?
I think it feels more welcoming in general. Like Chris said before, it definitely had an office feel to it. Now it feels like a place that you would be able to sit down and browse through a book for half an hour if you wanted to. It doesn't just feel like a come in, check out, and leave.
What about connecting with educators, librarians at schools? What do you guys do there?
Yeah, currently we send out our craft kits and information about the summer reading program to librarians at the schools, and they spread that information around their school. We are not doing class visits to the library yet. We just don't quite have enough time to lead those, but hopefully next fall we would welcome classes in to tour the library and learn about some of our resources.
Yeah, because I imagine there are kids, especially when they get those opportunities, whether they live in, you know, in town or out on the edge a bit, that have really never been in the library before.
Yeah, and that was definitely great. Before COVID, I had several classes that came in, and that was really nice to be able to share with kids the materials that are there. They know where we're located because they've gone with us, and they can tell their parents and come back again.
So, Chris, about 30 seconds left. What else do you want to share about the library?
Well, I want to just tie in with those student cards are available to those kiddos from birth through high school graduation who live or attend school within the Roseburg School District geographic area. So you're talking about quite a geographic range outside of the city limits.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.